SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Bauhaus Parramatta and the Cité Internationale Design Paris have just announced the two recipients of the Galang Residency Program, a program that supports First Nations creatives through two intensive 3 months art residencies in Paris. And I'm happy to say I'm joined by Jack Gilmer, one of the art residency recipients. Jack, first of all, congratulations on winning such a prestigious art residency and welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's really exciting. I'm excited that I had the opportunity to actually be accepted as part of this Galang residency. I think it's a really unique opportunity. And yeah, happy to be here and have a yarn and let everyone know what I'm going to be up to.
And what was your initial reaction when you found out you were chosen?
Oh, honestly, I was a bit shocked. I'm quietly confident at the start, only because I recognise that my proposal was really confident. But after a week of waiting, I started to question myself. I'm like, oh, maybe this isn't what they're after. So when they rang me and they let me know the news, I was really excited. I was kind of shaking a little bit, so I didn't know what to expect. And I had my little dog with me as well, and I looked at him and got a little bit upset, realizing that I'm not going to see him for 3 months, which is a little bit funny, but that's part of the journey.
You may be able to take him, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Virgin are allowing dogs on domestic flights now, but I don't know if we can take them internationally. But I think my partner wants to spend time with him while I'm away, so that'll be a good opportunity for them.
You explore country as the driving narrative of your design practice. How do you envision integrating Indigenous cultural paradigms and knowledge systems into your architectural projects? Because I gather built spaces are some of the areas you mainly focus on.
It's a new intersection between cultural knowledge systems and built environments that's kind of been introduced into architectural, that we've kind of had the opportunity to encourage the voice of First Nations people to participate in the built environment, which is something I'm really excited about and, excited to explore. And that's kind of what I see my role in architecture as a First Nations architect is a bit of a translator or conduit between the First Nations knowledge systems and the built environment. This idea of two-way learning and making sure that First Nations people can build the capacity and capability within the built environment space, kind of understanding our lingo and opportunities to influence and conceptualize the architectural response to place. And then on the other hand, bringing my built practitioner kind of, friends and colleagues on this journey as well to start to understand that First Nations knowledge system and how that can approach our approach to the built environment. So it's kind of a new space that I've identified as being a space of unrealized potential and endless opportunity that I'm really excited to explore. One of the ways that I do it is understanding a site through the means of its cultural infrastructure.
Yeah.
And there's this quote that I often reflect on by Peter Myers, and he's titled it A Third City. He says, "The beginnings of any colonial enterprise are proverbially insensitive to local cultures. So why should we be surprised that Philip ignored or chose to ignore the very definitive indications of an existing urban structure?" And the way that I interpret that is our First Nations knowledge system's way of understanding country and place and the stories that are embedded within those mnemonic devices that, we actually use the landscape for to carry these stories and the lessons that are embedded in them. And something I've been really interested in over the last few years is language. I've been learning my language. And at the start of the year, I enrolled in a Cert 3 so I could actually be part of the revitalization and education of it, kind of, in technical terms. Because of this residency, I've actually had to postpone that because I'm going to be away for 3 months.
Yeah.
But I'm doing a Cert 2 instead, which means I'll be online. But language has this really important role in understanding that cultural infrastructure of country that lies below the concrete blankets of our city. So it's kind of exploring that and exploring the meaning of place, and that meaning of place then reveals what it is that country was and how country was designed by mother and our creation ancestors, and making sure that the architecture and the work that I'm able to influence in the urban environment can ensure that country flows as intended by design, by our creation ancestors and mother. So making sure that water can flow through these systems and that the wind can move through here and that the sun can access these places. So something that, you know, it's quite new and foreign, and you know, we're trying to build the confidence of, you know, developers and clients and government organizations in this space as well, as something that we should, you know, definitely have a deeper look into in our approaches to, you know, the future of this world and the cities that we live in.
And coming back to the residency, it is said that you aim to open restitution conversations between institutions and decolonize museology through your residency project. Could you elaborate on how you plan to achieve this and the significance of giving agency back to First Nations communities?
You know, the summary of my proposal is about restitution and repatriation of First Nations cultural materials and remains. Investigating this in a museum context, so looking at the museum designed by Jean Nouvel, and I'm going to mispronounce this until I go to France and learn a bit more of their language, but the Musée du Quai Branly, which was designed by Jean Nouvel, was a museum that was designed specifically for First Nations cultural materials, but, you know, global First Nations communities. And there's been a lot of criticism about the museum, the way that it houses objects, and that there's criticism that they're in a vegetable state. So they're not kind of being celebrated, or they're not designed or, you know, put on display or on exhibition in a way that's culturally appropriate. But I aim to use architecture as a tool to investigate that relational ontology. That object has its object, that object has its people, that object has within space and its surroundings and the elements and the institutions that they exist in. So that's looking at it from a design point of view, maybe looking at some design guidelines, also the kind of the structure and the museology of a way that a museum and institutions like this operate, trying to give agency and access back to First Nations communities.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they'll also learn a lot from you. It's not you learning, they'll also learn from you, because what you just mentioned is something that a lot of non-Indigenous people wouldn't be aware of how the representation and, you know, celebrating art is very important. You just don't put it there and park it as if it's just part of decoration. It has to be celebrated appropriately.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, you also mentioned the importance of collaboration with elders and traditional custodians in your artistic practice. How do you ensure that Indigenous perspectives and voices are central to your creative processes?
Yeah, so it all depends on the opportunity that presents itself with a project as well. And as an architect, I need to make sure that I do my due diligence to make sure that the project actually provides a viable opportunity for the voice of the First Nations elders and community members to be heard. It's not always something that we can achieve, you know, as I kind of, you know, I advocate quite heavily and I kind of, you know, protest in a way in my response that we need to make sure that the voices of community members and elders are heard. And I think designing connected with country is something that somebody can't do as a sole voice. It's definitely a community effort. I think, you know, in a way, a lot of my role is making sure that these clients and these institutions actually recognise the value of First Nations knowledge systems and the ways that that's going to create a better future for not the next generation, but several generations following us.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned it earlier that you're undertaking some studies, and especially studies in Kathang language, to contribute to the revitalization of your ancestral language. How do you see language revitalization intersecting with your architectural work and broader Indigenous cultural preservation efforts?
Like I said before, language is such a unique way of understanding a place and the meaning of a place. So one of the words that I unpack with Uncle Ray, who I have a relationship with, is he kind of introduced me to language many moons ago, many years ago, before I really started to dive into my own ancestral language. And it's the unpacking and the interpretation of a word and a place name. So the Western way of naming a place is after a person. Often I reflect on this quote by Stan Grant at a conference I listened to him speak at. And he said, from a First Nations perspective, I quote Stan Grant, "Language doesn't tell you who you are. Language tells you where you are. And at the moment, our architecture is telling us who we are and not where we are." So, end quote. So by unpacking language of place and a place name, you can start to understand the elements that kind of collide at this place and the meaning behind the stories as well. So there's a headland in Newcastle called Weebigumba, otherwise known in Western language as Nobby's Headland. And Weebigumba means wind on and around that place, which totally makes sense when you look at it from a contextual point of view. It's just off the mouth of the river, between the intersection of the river and the ocean. It's got southerly winds that are coming in to impact it. So, you know, there's this wind in and around it. So it's completely contextualized through language. Language is such like it's such a beautiful and poetic way to understand place as well. One of the words that I learned recently, which is quite poetic in nature, is the word aranga, which means in the red, and it's our word for the sun setting. So it's not a word for, you know, sun setting, but it's actually a word for a moment in time that has an atmospheric quality to it, which is quite beautiful, poetic, and it's an incredible way to understand that moment that we're living in. Just kind of pronouncing those words builds this kind of connection back to my culture that, you know, I just love. Like speaking the language has really strengthened my identity as well, you know.
Oh, that's really, really powerful. Now, before I let you go, so something we may not have covered that you'd like to bring to the attention of our listeners?
I guess what I'm really looking forward to over there is the opportunity that the residency provides. And it's the opportunity of, and you know, I would kind of really promote other First Nations artists and creative practitioners to apply for such residencies, because it puts you in a place where you can really focus on something that means a lot to you without distractions as well. So, you know, being home, you have all these distractions of different deliverables, different projects that are coming up, but this really puts you in a headspace that you can really focus on what matters. And, you know, although I'm going to Paris, the real reason I'm going over there is to, you know, really try to make change for our communities. And I hope that what comes out of this study is something that's going to benefit all of the communities of this continent they now call Australia.
Jack Gilma, recipient of the 2024 Galang Residency Program at the Cité Internationale des Arts, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us about this journey you're embarking on. It's really been a great pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, Marumbu. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.